Chapter 68. The bonds dropped away, and Vi started fighting. She swore constantly under her breath to use her talent, but she wasn't angry. She'd always thought she was a cold, heartless bitch. She'd taken hold of that identity. It had made her strong against the nightly emptiness, the soul bankruptcy she'd carried for as long as she could remember. With the declaration that she would never serve the God King, melodramatic or not, she felt that she'd made her first deposit in that bank ever. Now she was fighting for something. No, for someone, and it was the first selfless thing she'd ever done. The Ferale haunched, and its bones sped beneath its skin. In the time it took Vi to armor herself, it had become something like a centaur, except instead of a horse's body, it had a cougar's. It was shorter, more mobile on its four legs, and it had a human torso and arms. It grabbed a spear in its human hands and launched itself after Kylar, who dashed behind a pillar. Vi sprinted up the steps three at a time to attack the God King. He was about to find out how wrong he'd been about the compulsion. Let Kylar fight the beast. She'd cut it off at its source. She was drawing back her sword when she hit the ward that extended 10 feet around the God King like a bubble. It was like sprinting into a wall. She found herself sprawled on the stairs. She must have rolled partway down them without even noticing. Her nose was bleeding, and her head was ringing. She blinked at Kylar. The man was a virtuoso. As the Ferale charged with spear leveled, Kylar waited until the last moment and then launched himself forward. Knives flashed as he passed over the beast, and its spear passed inches under him, harmlessly. But he wasn't done. He threw out a hand and somehow hooked the marble pillar, scoring it with a smoking gouge. As the Ferale spun to catch him, Kylar emerged from the other side of the pillar and flew over the Ferale's back, blades flashing again. Kylar landed in a crouch, one hand on the ground, the other on his sheathed sword. The Ferale paused, bleeding profusely, the mouthy skin cut open over the back of one hand, one shoulder, and across the cougar's haunches. The blood was red, all too human. But even as Vi watched, the gouges knit together in scars. The Ferale threw its spear at him. Kylar deflected it with a hand, but the Ferale was already moving. As Kylar leapt toward the wall, the Ferale slashed one arm at him, and in the space of the heartbeat that it took for its arm to move forward, the arm elongated, bones snapped into place, and an enormous scythe blade of a claw swept through the air. Kylar flipped off the wall directly into the path of the claw. It slammed him to the ground. Vi thought he was surely dead, but even as Kylar hit the ground, the claw snapped off and skipped along the floor, away from the Ferale. Kylar had somehow managed to draw his sword and block the slash. The Ferale, its left leg hanging limp and boneless, looked stunned. It sank into itself, becoming a great cat. Before the beast could attack again, Vi finally gathered her wits and charged it, screaming. It wheeled. She danced just outside of the range of its claws, the sides of which it had armored into bone. Kylar got back to his feet, but was swaying from side to side, dazed. The Ferale dashed away from Vi and touched its belly to the ground where its dead claw lay. In a second, that flesh was part of the Ferale again. Bones shifted, and it stood as tall as a man with bone swords for arms. It seemed more comfortable in this guise, thickly muscled, quicker than any man, much of its skin reinforced with bone armor plates. Together, Vi and Kylar fought. Kylar was capable of aerial moves Vi couldn't even comprehend, flipping off walls and the pillars, always landing on his feet like a cat, always leaving bloody furrows with his steel claws. Vi had less strength, even with her talent, but she was quick. The Ferale morphed again and again. It became a slight man with a living chain that it whipped around its head and flung around the pillars, hoping those mouthy lynx would catch either one of them. One of the lynx snagged Kylar's sleeve in mid-flight. It flipped him off balance, and he crashed into the floor. The Ferale pulled the chain in until Vi's sword passed in the inch between Kylar's skin and his sleeve and freed him. Kylar didn't even pause. He was just up and fighting. Then the Ferale was a giant with a warhammer. Marble exploded as it laid about itself with the huge weapon. Kylar and Vi ranged through the illusion of battle on the throne room floor, fighting as desperately as those men and women fought. As they fought together, Kylar and Vi began to not just fight in unison, but with unity. As Vi understood Kylar's strengths, she could move, counting on him to react appropriately. They were warriors, they were wet boys, and they understood. For Vi, who had always had trouble with words, battle was truth. She and Kylar fought together, leaping, meeting in midair, pushing off to go flying a new direction before the Ferale could respond. They covered each other, saved each other's lives. Kylar clipped off the end of a bone mace Vi could have never avoided. Vi said, "Gracos!" And jaws closed on Kylar's arm and then bounced off. It was, for her, a holy moment. She had never communed with another, never trusted another so implicitly, as she communed with and trusted Kylar. In this, through this, she understood the man in ways a thousand, thousand words wouldn't have revealed. They were in total harmony, and the miracle was how natural it was. At the same time, despair rose in her. They cut the Ferale 100 times, 200. They attacked its eyes, its mouth. They cut off parts of its body. It bled, and its total mass decreased by a few pounds, but that was all. They cut it, and it healed. But they could never make a mistake. Once that skin touched theirs, they would die. "I also cut." Kylar alighted on the side of a pillar and stopped. Runes were glowing in Kakare black, edged in blue along his arm. He stared at them. "You what?" he asked. "I didn't say anything," Vi said. Her eyes were on an enormous spider chittering on the floor in front of her. "Stupid. How slow am I?" Kylar said, dropping to the floor. "Is that a rhetorical question?" The Kakare poured a dark liquid from his hand into his sword, but then the liquid solidified as a thin sword. Kylar cut left and right, and spider legs went flying. It wasn't like hacking through bone. He was shearing them off like butter. He dodged back, and the spider gathered its legs to itself, but this time the stumps kept bleeding. They smoked and wouldn't allow new limbs to be grown there. It morphed back into the man with swords for arms, but now the wounds were on the man's chest, still flowing with blood and smoking. It roared and attacked Kylar. Kylar slashed left and right, and the sword arms tumbled across the floor. He ran the Kakare into the Ferale's chest. With a sharp motion, he pulled it down to the creature's groin. Smoke billowed, blood gushed. Kylar yanked the sword up, making another huge cut. He saw it too late. The Ferale's skin drew back from the sword like a pond might crater when a stone falls into it, only to burst upward. The skin rushed up the sword all at once. It engulfed Kylar's hand. He threw himself back, but the Ferale, limp now, fell forward with him, attached to his hand. Kylar jerked the sword back and forth, and smoke gushed from the Ferale as he gutted it. But it didn't lose its grip. Kylar reached for a dagger, but he'd used them all in the battle. "Vi!" he shouted. Cut it off! She hesitated. Cut off my hand! She couldn't do it. The skin twitched again, and it rushed up his forearm. Kylar screamed and twisted. A blade of Kakari formed along the edges of his left hand, and he cut off his right arm. Released from the pull of the dying Ferali, he collapsed backward. He held the gushing stump in his left hand. A moment later, black metal shimmered in every exposed vein, and the bleeding stopped. A black cap sheathed his stump. Kylar looked at Vi dumbly. 10 feet away, the Ferali's corpse was oozing. It began to break apart, weaves of magic unraveling. The mouthy skin rippled and evaporated, and then all that was left was stinking ropes of meat and sinew and bone. That, the God King's voice said, was impressive, Kylar. You showed me some things that I wasn't aware the Kakari could do. Most instructive. And Vi, you'll serve admirably. And not just in my bed. Something in Vi snapped. In the last 2 days, she'd changed everything. A new Vi was fighting to be born, and the God King was here saying nothing had changed. The new Vi would be a stillbirth. She'd go back to being a whore. She'd go back to being the same cold, hard bitch. She'd thought that life was the only one open to her, so she'd borne the unbearable. But having seen a way to be a woman she didn't hate, she couldn't go back. Get it through your fat head, Gare, she said, even as she felt magical bonds wrapping around her limbs and Kylar's again. I won't serve you.
Gareth smiled, godly benevolence. The feisty ones always make me hard.
Kylar, Vi said, snap out of it. You gotta help me kill this fucking twist.
The God King laughed. Compulsion doesn't hold on everyone, Vi. The Nile's magic would have freed most people. About 19 years ago, there was some Sioran slut that I seduced during a diplomatic trip. I sent men to collect her when I found out she was pregnant. But she ran away before they got there. When I found out she bore a girl, I dismissed the matter. I usually have my daughters drowned. It's good practice for my boys. It makes them tough. But it wasn't worth the effort. Compulsion, Vi, only works on family. And sometimes, not on boys. You?
You're not my father, Vi said. You're just some fuck who's about to die. Kylar!
Now, Vi, let's not get all teary-eyed, Gareth or Sewell said. You're nothing to me but 5 minutes of pleasure and a spoonful of seed. Well, that's not true. You see, Vi, you're a wet boy I can trust. You will never disobey me, never betray me.
Vi was gripped by terror, tighter than the magic that bound her limbs. Possibilities were dying on every side. Kylar stirred. His eyes came back into focus. He wiggled his eyebrows at her, trying to be charming. The outrageous cuteness of it cracked her paralysis. His pale blue eyes said, "You with me?" Hers answered him with a fierce, desperate joy that needed no translation. Under his breath, Kylar said, "You take his attention. I'll take his life." He smiled, and the rest of Vi's fear blew away. It was a real smile, with no desperation. There was no doubt in Kylar's eyes. Any additional obstacle, whether magical bonds or the loss of an arm, would only sweeten his victory. Killing the God King was Kylar's destiny.
You leave me no choice, Garath Orsul said. He pursed his lips. Daughter, kill Kylar.
The Kakari opened and devoured the bonds holding Vi and Kylar. Vi was moving, beginning a flashy, eye-grabbing stunt. Then, everything stopped. There was a gap of volition. In her mind's eye, Vi was leaping through the air, flying toward the God King, her blade descending, his face twisting into a rictus of fear as he saw that his shields were gone, as he realized she'd defeated his compulsion. But that was only her imagination. A shock of impact ran up Vi's arm. Her wrist flexed, as if to complete a horizontal slash through a heart. But she saw nothing, knew nothing, except that there was a blank. The gap cleared, and Vi was aware once more. Her fingers were uncurling from the familiar grip of her favorite knife. Kylar, so slowly, so painfully slowly, was falling. He drifted toward the floor, his head arcing back in a slow whiplash from having her knife rammed into his back, his dark hair rippling from the shock. It wasn't until he hit the floor that Vi realized that Kylar was dead. She had killed him.
That, my dear daughter, Garath Orsul said, is compulsion.